Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dennison Callahan, John Mitaparella alongside. Jerry Remy is brought to you by Modell's. With convenient locations throughout New England, always remember, you got to go to Mo's. Morning, Rem Dog.
John, how you doing?
This thing couldn't be going much better, could it? I mean, there's nothing really to pick at here, is there?
Nah, tough time for you guys, isn't it?
It is.
Yep.
So let me ask you, Rem Dog, if you had to really, really nitpick, bordering on paranoia, what specifically would you be worried about on this Boston Red Sox club?
Health. That's it. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of talent on this team. My biggest concern, as always, is something didn't happen like last year. You know, where all of a sudden you got guys breaking down and things start falling apart for you in a hurry. And that's the only thing that I can see derailing, what's going on now. Now, you know, do I expect them to play this great? You know, the rest, they're going to have a rough spell. Everybody does. But the fact is, with this pitching they have, starting pitching, bullpen, the team they put together, I don't see long stretches of bad play. And the only thing I think that can stop that is if, you have two or three starters on the disabled list. You lose a Papelbon or you lose a Okajima or something like that. That could have an impact. But, without that happening, I just don't see where this team can go in an extended bad stretch.
You know, and we've seen a couple of recent examples, Jerry, where guys have gone down for shorter or longer periods of time, and it's not made a difference at all. I mean, you know, your best pitcher, a 7-0 starter with an ERA under 3, goes down for 2 weeks, and you gain 3.5 games in the standings. David Ortiz sits down with some bark and hammies for 3 or 4 games, and you win them all.
Yeah, you know, they got depth, you know, and they've got veteran depth, guys like Cora on the bench, guys like Hinsky, Mirabelli, you know, they've got guys there that who have played plenty of baseball. And you know, not that they, you know, everybody wants to be an everyday player. There's no question about that. But the good thing here is that they've accepted their roles. When a team's winning, everybody's happy. And when they've got a chance to play, they've been able to contribute. And that makes them feel good because it makes them feel like they're part of what's going on. So, and a guy like Beckett, for example, last night, you know, I was a little bit concerned that maybe after missing a couple of starts, his control might be off a little bit. Maybe he wouldn't get his breaking ball over, and that would, of course, affect him against a good team like Cleveland. The guy was on target. I mean, it's like he never missed a start, and he just continues on that roll. And what impressed me last night is the fact that he threw all of his pitches, and he threw them for strikes. The Indians saw a different Josh Beckett last night than they saw last year in Cleveland when they lit him up. And because you know, they had to look for two other pitches besides the fastball. So that was pretty impressive, I thought, last night after missing, you know, a couple of starts and come back and pitch that well. And I think just walked one guy in the ballgame. Yeah.
Here's an impossible question for you to answer, Jerry. If you're an opposing pitcher, how do you get Kevin Youkilis out?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, what's impressed me is in this streak, you know, most of his hits have come in the first two at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is he's using the whole field. You know, Youkilis really doesn't have, in my opinion, an opposite field swing.
No.
He kind of rolls his wrist, you know, which would lead you to believe he's kind of a right center to right field type of hitter. Left center to left, you know, to left field. But, you know, he's been dumping base hits and line drives to the opposite field. So, you know, when you've got a guy that's swinging the bat the way he is and using the whole field, that's how you accumulate a high batting average. If you look at most of the good hitters in baseball, you know, they're not strictly full hitters. They're guys that just spray the ball around. And he's been able to do that. And I think the one thing that he's, you know, done differently this year with two strikes, he's made some adjustments in his swing to try to make contact, you know, hit the ball the other way. And instead of striking out, he's putting the ball in play. When you put the ball in play, you get more base hits. And, boy, he's in heat right now. I'll tell you, it's amazing to watch.
Jerry, what does it feel like when you're on a roll like that? What does it look like? What's the whole process feel like when you walk to the plate? You just think you're going to get hit?
Personal point of view, yeah. And the other thing is, you know, well, it's going to end someday, you know.
Right.
I'm going to have – but what you want to continue to do is just have good at-bats. And, like, you know, you can't control where the ball goes. I mean, this guy could go up tonight and get 4 line drives right at somebody.
Yep.
And all of a sudden the streak's over. From a team point of view, you know, you feel like you can't be beat. I mean, you know, there are times you take the field where you just know that you're going to win the baseball game because you go everything's going so well for you. You have confidence in every starting pitcher that goes out there that he's going to control the other offense, and you know you're going to score runs. And, you know, that's a nice feeling to have on a club. It doesn't happen all that much. And you know, when you have that kind of feeling, you know, it's fun to go to the ballpark and play. And the other thing, too, is no lead is, you know, no lead is too big for them to come back. They've proven they can do that. So, you know, they don't get down on games if they're down 5-0 or 4-0 early in the game. They know they got plenty of time to come back and score a run. So it's an awfully nice feeling to be on a team where you have total confidence when you go to the ballpark. I wouldn't say cocky, but confident, you know, that you're going to be able to get the job done that night.
And I'm wondering how that manifests itself behind closed doors, because obviously none of these 25 guys is standing up and saying, hey, we think we're going to win every single night. You just don't do that in baseball. We talked about this with Schilling yesterday. But behind closed doors or on the plane or when two or three guys talk to each other, do you talk about the feeling of invincibility as a team to your teammates?
I don't know about invincibility, but you know you have the confidence in each other that you know things are going to go well, and you trust each other. And you know these guys, I mean, they know they have a good club. I mean, you know the lineup you're running out there is a good lineup. You know the pitches you're putting out there are good. So you know it's a confident feeling. I wouldn't say it's a cocky feeling. I don't think they get too wrapped up in what's going on, because you know baseball is played every day, and you know you can run off 10 in a row and then lose 4 in a row. So I think if you know that you have, you know, the parts that fit, and they all seem to fit on this club, you feel very confident every time you go out there. And I'm sure that's the way they feel, you know. Everybody's happy when you win. You know, you walk around the clubhouse and everybody's in a good mood and nobody's complaining. And, you know, it's just a relaxed atmosphere as opposed to, what the Yankees may be going through right now where, you know, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them. They had an hour-long meeting the other day. You know, when you get to that stage, you're in desperate trouble, you know. And you go to the ballpark expecting that something bad is going to happen. Look at the game last night. I mean, I just saw the clip of the guy stealing home. I think it was Hill stealing home.
Embarrassing.
And that's unbelievable.
It's a microcosm.
Right. Look out of this set position. So, you know, you have the feeling that nothing's going to go your way when you're playing like that.
Yeah, you lose 5 in a row. You know, you got Cashman and Torrey with their heads on the chopping block. You have an offense that's producing at a rate of like 152. Giambi's hurt, maybe going to be suspended, and you're hanging your hopes on Roger Clemens somehow coming in here and being the catalyst that changes everything. On that subject, Jerry, if you're George Steinbrenner spending $18 million or Brian Cashman or Joe Torrey, don't you make it your business to get Roger Clemens to pitch, certainly in the Red Sox series against Fenway Park, and maybe Friday night against Wakefield, that if there is going to be a spark, maybe he does that for you Friday night in the first game?
No, I don't think so, because I think they're at the stage right now where their concern is getting to the playoffs. And there's still plenty of baseball left to be played. I mean, we're at the end of May. And their goal, I'm sure, right now is not looking at the Red Sox for first place in this division. What their goal is to start to track together some wins, take a look at where they are 2 months from now, and hope they're close to a playoff spot. So, throwing Roger Clemens at Fenway Park's not going to make a bit of difference to them. If he wins on Monday in Chicago, you know, that's great. But I think what their plan is now, and it has to be, it's the only way you can think about it, is you go out every day, try to win a game, take a peek at where you are, 2 months from now, and hope that you're close to a wild card or wherever it may be. And that's the way they have to approach it. So, it would be great media hype to have Roger back here. But quite frankly, the three guys that he's pitching, you know, are in better condition right now than he is to pitch in this series against the Red Sox. I mean, who knows what Roger's going to bring to the table, you know, the first time out there. So, you know, just because his name is Roger Clemens, and, you know, it's no disrespect, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to roll him out there on one of these games this weekend. He's going to beat him, you know. So, it doesn't surprise me. And, he will give him some kind of spark, I think. But, you know, they need more than that. And, you know, we were talking about it last night. You know, 20 years ago, Steinbrenner already had 3 more managers in there by now.
Good point.
Definitely.
Managers. Good point.
Definitely.
You know, he would have been going crazy. I mean, we saw that stuff with Billy and Lemon, and, you know, Billy's back and this and that, and Lou Piniella and all this stuff. I mean, you know, it's a different atmosphere there now, and it's amazing to me that, you know, he hasn't made these kind of changes already, which I don't think would do any good, to be honest with you. But the fact is, you know, how he's been in the past and how he's been able to control himself now. So, you know, their goal right now is just try to start winning games, play the way they know they're capable of playing, and then just take a peek where they are, you know, in a couple of months.
You know, Jerry, maybe what he has in mind would be a team hypnosis meeting Friday night at Fenway Park before they go out and take on the Red Sox.
Yeah, that worked very well for us.
That's a good story.
That was one of the most ridiculous things I ever saw in my life. I couldn't stop laughing through the whole session.
Frank Tanana hypnotized, is that right?
Yeah, Tanana's walking around taking left turns and right turns, like, you know, the guy's going left, and he's going left, and he's going, and then he starts laughing at the end of it. He was, you know, he's playing with the guy.
Hey, I think Alex Rodriguez might need some hypnosis of a different kind. If you haven't seen the New York Post today, Jerry, you got to pick it up. Front page of the New York Post, big headline, Stray Rod. Alex hits strip club with mystery blonde.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever been to the Brass Rail in Toronto, Jerry?
No. the exchange rate, I wonder if he brought dollars or $5. I imagine a guy like A-Rod would bring $5.
I think he brought more than $5 based on the girl.
I bet that's nice to wake up to when you get up in the morning and see that spread all over the New York paper. Well, that must be great.
Maybe Mrs. A-Rod won't recognize it. It's just on the front page of the Post in one gigantic picture.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them say they don't read the papers, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess he stays at the Four Seasons Hotel. The rest of the team stays at the Park Hyatt, and he was spotted there with this busty blonde during the late hours of Sunday, canoodling and then going up in the elevator.
Oh, boy. I would say that's probably my twin brother.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely say that. Hey, Dustin Pedroia, almost as hot as Kevin Youkilis. And the other day, I think it was Sunday when he had that 12-pitch at bat. You said that was probably the best at bat of the season. I think it was. I'm trying to remember a better one. How did that shake down?
Well, you know, he's you know, I kept waiting, you know, waiting, you know, for him to do things that, you know, kind of stand out. And the more I watch him play, and he's one of those guys that, you know you're going to get everything out of him every single time he goes on the field. He's got a little fire to him. Now he's starting to do some things that you enjoy watching. He's very short-handed at second base. Excuse me. Anything that's hit at him, you know, he's going to get. He's got that big swing. He swings hard, and when he makes contact, he hits the ball hard. But that at bat was very impressive because he's facing a guy like Gagne who's, you know, pretty nasty.
Right.
And he fouls off all these pitches and then finally gets him for a home run. Whether a home run or base hit, it's the same result. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great at bat. And that, you know, those are the kind of things that stick out, you know, and when you're sitting in the dugout and you watch a guy do that, that's pretty impressive. So they're in a good spot there. They got him playing well. They got Cora, who's cooled off a little bit but still very solid. So, you know, I mean, it's like you said at the top of the show, John, it's hard to find something.
Yeah, it really is.
That's not going well.
The only sign that Pedroia's confidence could get a little higher is if he rolled the ball to Euclid at first base after he fields a grounder. Have you ever seen that before, Remdog?
No, I never saw that before. And I saw Tavares, you know, at the clubhouse Monday, and I said, yo, what in the world? I said, what are you doing? And he says, well, I just like to have fun, you know. And Francona had the quote of the day. He says, if he'd have rolled with the Milan probably would have dropped it. But that's a dangerous thing to do. And I think they did call him in on Monday and said, you know, hey, look, that's enough of that stuff, you know. But
and by the way, does the other team feel disrespected when they see that?
Like I'll tell you what, it pissed me off if I was in the other
team. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right.
But you know, he kind of grows on you, you know. I mean, we hear a lot about a guy before he gets here, and you don't know him. And even while he's here early, you don't know him that well, you know. But he kind of grows on you. I'll say one thing. You know, he's pretty loose, and he likes to have a good time, and he enjoys playing the game of baseball. And as long as you're performing, you know, you can get away with stuff like that. But it's kind of refreshing because, not that I want to see him roll balls to first base. But, you know, think of things that this guy's done. Remember last year when there was a guy at second base, I think it was Roberts of Baltimore, and he sprints to try to tag him out
exactly.
In the mound?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen that either. You know, so you got to see things from him that you've never seen anywhere else. But the fact is he's out there having fun playing this game of baseball. That's kind of refreshing to see instead of guys that are, you know, just miserable all the time out there and pressing and, you know. I mean, he's going to do it. He's going to play the best he can. He's going to have fun while he's doing it.
You know you're going well when Lester is an afterthought. He throws five scoreless, and he's throwing 95 miles per hour in Pawtucket. It's almost like, hey, John Lester, who needs him?
Yeah, well, they will need him at some point, and good for him. You know, I'm glad things
absolutely
are going well for a lot of different reasons. First of all, you know, his health, he's got his health back, and now he's getting his career back, and it'll be a nice moment when he gets back to the Red Sox, and I don't know when that's going to be. But I would think, looking at the line last night, that they would probably want to get him up around 100 pitches,
right,
and then probably make the move back to the big leagues.
All right. So, final question, Remdog. A 3-game sweep of the Yankees would make it 18.5. Would that be pretty much the knife and the fork in the bird?
You're talking to a guy that was part of a 14.5 blown lead at the All-Star break at 78. So I never say, you know, but again, I think there are differences in these clubs,
yes.
You know. In 78, they had Ron Guidry. They don't have a Ron Guidry right now. You know, we had a ton of injuries in the second half, just like they had in the first half. And I think it was a case of two teams leveling out as the season went on. This team's going to be awfully tough to beat. And, again, it just goes back to health. And, you know, they protect their pitches very well, and you hope that it stays that way. And if it does, I you know, I don't want to get cocky. You know, there was a writer there yesterday from New York. Every time the Yankees come in, they send a couple of guys ahead.
Yeah.
I think Ruben was his name, and I was joking with him. I said, why are you tracking us? I said, you ought to be tracking Tampa Bay. Ooh, he didn't like that, you know.
All right, Remdog, you're in charge of continuing to pilot the good ship Lollipop on the straight and narrow as we go forward through the weekend.
All right, guys.
All right, Remdog. Thanks, talk Jerry. To you next week.
All right.
Jerry Remy, brought to you by Modell's. With convenient locations throughout New England, always remember, you gotta go to Mo's.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.